Pokemon X and Y. I played these games a lot growing up. I really enjoyed these games, but when coming up with any challenge ideas, the game was just too easy. You get overleveled so fast that the game is a cakewalk. What could you possibly do to make X and Y difficult? I laid on the floor and thought about it for a while, and then the solution hit me. Well, if the trainers are so weak, why not just make them stronger? Why not make all their Pokemon level 100? Is it even possible to beat? Well, let's find out. I started the game up and wandered over to my friends to pick out my first Pokemon. And we are immediately greeted by the most important decision of this whole challenge. Which one do I pick? Keep in mind, the starter is still gonna be level 5. The first battle is against a level 100. After deliberating for a while, I determined that Fennekin was the only Pokemon I could choose. For reasons I'll explain in a bit. I named it Atsine, who was the person that made the mod for me, thanks again by the way, and started on this incredibly painful journey onto Route 1. Save right now? Oh yeah, oh! I hadn't saved yet, and Shauna came out of nowhere with her level 100 Chespin. I opened with Ember, as it used Pain Split, essentially halving its own health. Oh, that went well. On the first attempt of the first battle, I actually already had a chance to win. I'm just screwing with you. I had no shot. It body slammed and destroyed Atsine in an instant. Lucky for me though, in this battle, it doesn't matter if you lose, so I was able to progress normally from here. On to Route 1, where there's this kid, Austin, who has a level 100 Zigzagoon. It's completely unavoidable. To make any progress, I had to defeat this youngster. By now, you're probably thinking to yourself, well, that's easy enough. Just fight wild Pokemon until Atsine is strong enough to beat it. It would take a few hours, but sure, it would work. And to those of you that thought of that, I have one thing to say. That's lame. I'm not gonna fight wild Pokemon. Like at all, ever. In a wild Pokemon battle, I'm not allowing myself to ever select this fight option. This challenge isn't about brute force. It's about strategy. So, what is the strategy? How does one defeat a level 100 Zigzagoon? At this stage of the game, you're given 10 Pokeballs. That's it. We have 10 Pokeballs and a level 5 Fennekin. The obvious and really only thing to do is catch some Pokemon. So we caught 4 level 4 Pidgeys. Honestly though, level 4 Pidgeys, pretty useless. They know Tackle. That's it. Level 5 Pidgeys, on the other hand, they know Sand Attack. Now that's a move. Because I can't train on wild Pokemon though, how do you get the EXP to level them up? Well, luckily for this generation, catching Pokemon gives EXP. I have 10 Pokeballs, and that's just barely enough to get those 4 Pidgeys all up to level 5. And with my stacked team of level 5s and a bulletproof strategy, I went to challenge Austin. And I lost. Zigzagoon at level 100 knows Flail, Fling, Belly Drum, and Rest. To have the best chance at winning this battle, Zigzagoon needs to Belly Drum first turn, a 50% chance, then Rest the second turn, another 50% chance. This situation almost guarantees 6 Sand Attacks from my Pidgeys, giving Zigzagoon a one-third chance to hit every turn after that. Once Zigzagoon wakes up, since its HP is full and its attack is maxed, the only move the AI will use is Flail. Then it's just a matter of surviving long enough until Flail's 15 power points run out. Then it's pretty harmless. It still does have Rest, which it will spam after that. Once it's out of Rest though, there's really nothing it can do. And yet, one major problem still remains. Fling has 10 power points, and Belly Drum has 9 remaining power points. How can you defeat a level 100 Zigzagoon in under 19 turns by just smacking it with level 5s before the Zigzagoon sweeps you with struggle? Well, you can't. Challenge over. It's impossible. Unless you picked Fennekin. Now, Fennekin doesn't have the brute force to take out this Zigzagoon, but it has something better. Ember. Ember, by itself, deals 1 HP to Zigzagoon. But there is that beautiful 10% for a burn. If you're able to get a burn within 11 turns, the battle is won. It burned! We got the burn! And so, after nearly an hour of playing, the stars aligned, and I won my first battle. And got a measly 1027 EXP. To be honest, I naively thought the first battle would be the only hard one in the challenge. Beat the Zigzagoon, get enough EXP to grow up to like level 50 or something, breeze through the rest of the game. This was not the case. It would be a long time before my Pokemon could stand up to anything. Regardless, I advanced into the forest. There was one more required trainer battle in the forest, Lass Anna. She only had a Pikachu, and luckily, the same strategy was able to work. Sand attack, burn, and wait. Pikachu actually gave 2400 EXP, so those extra levels were very nice. Leveling up Birdo, giving Psybeam to Atsign, and evolving him too. I was able to leave the forest and try challenging some optional trainers. One had a Caterpie, it was too strong and I lost. I tried another one though, and they had a Bidoof. Bidoof, Gen 6 learn set. Curse, Superpower, Super Fang, Takedown. Some tells me we're not defeating this Bidoof. It was too strong again, and I lost. So I just went to the next city, defeated the Zigzagoon at the entrance to the gym after a few tries, and went inside to the first major roadblock of the run. Oh, no, it's not the gym leader. No, it was a tiny bug before the gym leader. Lass Charlotte had a Kakuna, which was super easy. Only had Harden. What came next was another story. A painful story. Defeating the Kakuna would get Atsign to level 22 to learn Fire Spin. An incredibly useful move in a challenge like this. But then an unstoppable force stood in front of me. The Combi. Combi had the perfect moveset to counter my only strategy up until this point. Gust, Bug Buzz, Bug Bite, and Sweet Scent. No matter what I did, I was doomed. It either one-shot me with an attacking move, or used Sweet Scent, which effectively negated Sand Attack. I tried again and again to defeat this monster. And let me tell you, according to all known laws of aviation, there is no way a bee should be this friggin' strong. So, I went to the drawing board, and tried thinking up some other strategy. And despite there being maybe 10 different Pokemon available to catch so far, there was only one that gave me a slim chance of winning. Pokemon's main mascot itself was my savior, Pikachu. Pikachu had the move Thunder Wave, so if Combi used Sweet Scent, which it would only use a quarter of the time, I could paralyze it, which left it with a 1 in 4 chance to be immobilized. So the new strategy was this. Paralyze the Combi and growl until Pikachu goes down. Then, use all the Pidgeys and hope that I get at least a few Sand Attacks off. To finish it off, send an Atsign to Fire Spin for residual damage. Then Psybeam and hope for the confusion. It's paralyzed! Come on! It's confused! It hurt itself in confusion, we did it! It took nearly 2 hours to defeat this stupid bee, but I was finally free. After enduring the onslaught that was the bee, the first gym leader was a complete pushover. Surskit didn't know any attacking moves at level 100, and Vivillon only knows Hurricane as an attacking move. On the second try, Vivillon missed enough Hurricanes and I won the battle. First badge done, after 3.5 total hours. At long last, I was able to make some progress. There weren't any required trainers on the way to Lumio City, but I did get into battle in the professor's lab. But it's okay, cause he's not that tough, apparently. Did he just say he's not that tough? Oh. He had 3 Gen 1 starters, and I didn't even make it past Bulbasaur. That was fine though, because losing this battle, it doesn't even wipe you out, and he gives you another starter anyways. And again, we're left with an incredibly important decision. Which starter to choose? The correct choice was, of course, Bulbasaur, who we named Fravia. On the way out of the city, I made another quick stop to grab a quick claw, which will become a crucial part of this challenge later on, and encountered the next unavoidable battle. A double battle. My opponents were Plusle and Minun, which in casual playthroughs are generally pretty trivial to defeat. But in this challenge, they were also really trivial. I just used Fire Spin with Atsign and Leech Seed with Fravia, and they never attacked despite having attacking moves? No idea why. This battle, very convenient for my team. Fravia learned Poison Powder and Sleep Powder and evolved. Ember, the Pikachu, learned Double Team and Nuzzle. And this was convenient because a hard battle was fast approaching. Tierno and his level 100 Corphish. Corphish had only attacking moves, so there was no chance of getting a lucky turn where it didn't attack. It did know Guillotine, which you might think doesn't have the best accuracy, but it has a unique mechanic where if the Pokemon using it is 70 levels higher than the opponent, it never misses. I had to come up with a new strategy. This one relied on the Quick Claw. By giving Ember the Quick Claw, I could Nuzzle, paralyzing the Corphish, and because Corphish is so slow, with the paralysis, my level 21 Ferravia was able to outspeed and use Leech Seed. The birds then came out and just covered this thing in sand, and with only Atsine remaining, managed to get a Psybeam Confusion, where the Corphish hit itself to finish the battle. I ran back to heal up at the Poké Center real quick, and look at all the windows all lit up. Uh-huh. Okay. Who? That person is just running around back there. The lights are on and there's someone running around. Excuse me? Who does he think he is? Anyways, made my way through to Camp Freer Town and got stopped by the Snorlax, so I had to rob some castle thing because of its Poké Flute or something. I wasn't really paying attention to the plot. Mostly because I was so excited about what we found hiding in the grass.
That's what we're looking for.
Not only does Ninkeda evolve into Ninjask, which is useful by itself, but it also gives you Shedinja. Just an insane value. Shedinja is a Pokemon with 1 HP no matter what level it is. But it also has the Wonder Guard ability, where if a move isn't super effective, it won't do anything at all. So, the great thing about having a Shedinja is that, since our Pokemon get one-hit KO'd anyways, it's just like having a normal Pokemon, but it has immunities to half of the attacks in the game. I couldn't get it yet, though, as I had to make it through the Snorlax first. And, reminder, no fighting wild Pokemon, so I had to catch it without ever dealing damage.
We have 16 Pokeballs, that's enough, right? 1, 2, 3... It's just that easy.
Now it was just a matter of winning one battle to level up Ninjask and get that Shedinja. The double battle, where you team up with the other guy to defeat Trevor and Tierno. Fortunately, he had level 100s. So on the first turn, I used Protect. Oh yeah, I bought Protect from the Mart and taught it to basically like the whole team, by the way. But the guy with the blue jumpsuit, he did maybe my favorite thing I've ever seen in a challenge run. His Fletchling used Me First to steal Corphish's move and guillotined the Corphish on the first turn. It felt so good after suffering so much while solo. After that, I just spam Protect for the rest of the battle mostly, and Jax evolved, giving us a Shedinja. There were a few battles on the way to Ambret Town, but nothing new. Just used one of the strategies I'd figured out so far, and that was the end of the first stream. Oh yeah, I do these challenges live on Twitch, by the way, so you want to check them out? But one badge, 6 hours. The next Wednesday, I continued the challenge. I entered the cave and had my first encounter with Team Flare. It was not an easy battle.
It knows Flamethrower, Crunch, Nasty Plot, and Inferno. Maybe it'll crunch. Maybe it won't. It miss, it hits. Great, yeah.
But I tried one more time. Houndour used Nasty Plot this time, so Ember was able to Nuzzle. With the paralysis, I was able to sand attack with Jax a few times until it went down. Then, Ferravia was the luckiest Pokemon alive for the next 2 minutes.
And we Leech Seed. Wait, we outspeed if it's just paralyzed? Crazy. And we Protect, but it failed. But it's paralyzed. Protect. Inferno. I'm protected, idiot. Maybe I'll poison powder for fun. I know it's not gonna do anything, but whatever. It's fine. Houndour's paralyzed. And we'll just protect one more time, and then I believe that's victory. Whoever said grass is weak to fire, exactly.
Not a single hit made it through. The luck didn't end there, though, because Ferravia got another Sleep Powder and Leech Seed to hit before getting taken out by the Zubat. Once Hatsine came out, the Zubat just stopped attacking. I went for that one. The next Team Flare member was even more difficult, as yet again, all of my strategies were thwarted. They sent out a Gulpin, which at first glance seems harmless, but it is far from it. Gulpin is a Poison-type Pokemon with the ability Liquid Ooze and the move Gastro Acid. It can't be poisoned because of its typing, it can't be Leech Seeded because of its ability, and it counters Shedinja because Gastro Acid gets rid of the ability. This little ball of slime was a conundrum. I tried a few times, but it perfectly countered everything I had used up until that point. It took a while, but eventually I had an idea. By constantly switching out Shedinja before the Gastro Acid hit, then switching it back in, It forced the AI to waste its gastro acid power points. After 10 turns of switching back and forth, it couldn't use gastro acid anymore. So I was free to send in Radical Shadow, the Shedinja, and spam sand attacks. Radical couldn't really deal any damage yet, so I opted to put it to sleep with Fravia and finish it off with Atsine. That wasn't the only Pokemon the trainer had, there was also an Electrike, but it only had electric moves, so Radical handled that one too. There was another team-up battle after that, but yeah, I just spam Protect again. And that was the cave finished. I was able to move on to the next city and challenge the gym. But first, I wanted a new Pokemon, and there was an opportunity to get one with the ability Sturdy. By catching a Lovedisc on the beach, I could then trade it for a Steelix.
Ability? Rockhead.
Oh, never mind. It sucks. We caught a Dwubble instead, which actually has Sturdy. Then I was ready to challenge gym number two. This was where Shedinja's utility went on full display. Grant sent out Amora first. Amora didn't have any super effective moves. Radical sat there and sand attacked. Then Fravia hit it with the Leech Seed. Tyrant was second. Tyrant didn't have any super effective moves. Sand attack, Leech Seed. Just like that, I had the second gym badge. I continued on without issue to reach Geosenge Town, where I was met by Corona and her two Lucario. That couldn't hit Shedinja. And along the way, Shedinja learned Confuse Ray, so it started being able to actually deal damage. The next required battle was a backpacker with a Linoon that couldn't hit Shedinja. You starting to see the pattern here yet? Shedinja quickly became the MVP of this challenge. But the fights that Shedinja couldn't be used were still a nightmare. I needed more backup strategies. And so, while in Reflection Cave, I picked up a Wobbuffet. After a few more uneventful battles, I arrived at the Tower of Mastery, where I had the option to fight the guy that I didn't pick at the start of the game. Up until this point, most trainers had one, maybe two Pokemon. This guy had three, and one of them was a big concern, the Frogadier. Its moveset was incredibly strong, with a super effective move for Radical to boot. It also had Substitute, which meant no status moves. There was no way I could take out this thing, so I just had it take itself out. With a quick Destiny Bond from Lo-Fi, it bounced to its death. With some clever switching around, the other two Pokemon couldn't really deal any damage to my team, and I ended up winning the battle on my very first attempt. Just south of the tower, Gym 3 was next. Corina wanted a rematch. The first Pokemon was Hawlucha. It did have a super effective move against Shedinja, so I had to switch Radical out. It used Sky Drop, which took Ember into the sky, but that missed. I used Nuzzle, only to remember that Hawlucha has Limber and can't be paralyzed, so I was kinda screwed, until it missed High Jump Kick and dealt half of its health and damage to itself. Then I just protected and it did it again. Mianfu was next, so I switched back to Radical, and it kept using High Jump Kick for some reason. Machoke was the last Pokemon, and again, no super effective moves for Radical, so I went with the classic Sand Attack a bunch and stack status effects. First try for the third badge. There was one more thing I had to do before leaving the city, the Lucario mirror match with Corona. This battle is pretty unique as you're forced to use Lucario, and only Lucario. To be completely honest, I didn't remember this part of the game, and at this moment I figured this challenge would end here. Here is how the first attempt went.
It only has attacking moves. Wait, we didn't white out. We didn't white out! Groof! No, I don't want it.
So I left, abandoning Lucario, and adventured onward. Surprisingly enough, there are no required battles between Shalur City and Coromarine City. I bought some Lax Incense, gave it to my Pokemon, picked up Trick Room, taught it to Atsine, and I was ready for the fourth gym. But the guy person thing challenged me again. He had the same Pokemon. Battle went the same way as last time. After that little pebble in the road, I was now ready for the fourth gym. And the start of the battle went so well, I'm not even gonna talk over it. Like, just check this out.
Now it's gonna switch you out. Or it's gonna destroy itself. I mean, that's chill too. Okay, so what's gonna happen here is I'm going to Destiny Bond and have the Quick Claw activate. It's just that easy, okay?
Okay, I'm back, because this Weeping Bell took a long time. It had Gastro Acid, like the Gulpin from before, so I did the cool switching strat and just tried to take it out with Confuse Rays. That did not work. The Weeping Mill got super lucky, so I did an alternate strategy where I just tried to force feed Radical and Orenberry for like 5 minutes until the Weeping Bell struggled. Then, Brick Jr., the now Crustle, saved the day. With its sturdy ability and rocky helmet, I gave it at some point. The recoil from Struggle and the helmet guaranteed me a win. Another first try gym. 4 badges down, 4 to go. And did you notice that in the last battle? I survived a struggle without even needing sturdy. My Pokemon were actually starting to be okay. Well, for now at least, until the opponent's Pokemon start to be their evolved forms. I wandered around for a bit after the gym and found myself in some underground bunker thing where there were some bad guys that wanted to fight. And on the very first battle, I got stuck. So the ever so helpful Twitch chat came up with an idea.
Open up with Lo-Fi? No, it just one hit KOs Lo-Fi. But to humor you, I'll do it and I'll show you how wrong you are. So you guys say just Destiny Bond forehead, okay? Was a very good... You guys got so lucky.
Destiny Bond only works if you use it before the opponent, and Lo-Fi happened to get the 20% Quick Claw chance to move first. Then there was only Croagunk left where another first happened. I actually managed to defeat a Pokemon with a normal damaging move for once.
Wow, our starter just one-hit KO'd a level 100.
It seemed, for now, that the challenge was getting easier. And, oh yeah, a little funny thing that happened around this time. I was going back to the Poké Center to heal, right? And I encountered a Wild Dug trio, which has the ability Arena Trap. So, I couldn't run from it, so the only thing I could do was throw Pokeballs at it. But Dugtrio is notoriously difficult to catch, especially considering it was at full health. This single level 28 Dugtrio had a chance to completely ruin my run. If I ran out of Pokeballs without catching it, I'd be forced to fight, and I'd have to start the entire challenge over. But with some quick thinking, I did remember Radical, a ghost type, which is unaffected by Arena Trap, so I was able to run once Lo-Fi fainted. Back to the plot though, Aliana challenged me with her level 100 Mightyena, but it didn't have any moves for Radical, so easy battle. There's nothing between that and the next gym, so Gym 5, here we go. The trainers in the gym were pretty easy, but something unexpected happened during one of the battles.
Discharge Pokemon.
According to medical...
No! Not that kind of discharge. Okay, it has 100% accuracy! How did it miss?
I just forgot I had Lax Incense, which gives a slight evasion boost. The next gym leader was Clamont. And after not really struggling on any battles for a while, I was feeling confident and went in without a plan. Emolga took out Fravia without receiving any damage. It couldn't deal any damage to Radical, so I figured that was a foolproof plan. Until it ran out of Confused Rays, so it was basically useless. The Emolga Volt switched out on Atsine to send in Magneton. With Atsine and Fravia down, I really didn't have any way to deal with reliable damage anymore, so I just lost the battle. This one required a little bit of thought. Attempt 2, Radical used Confused Ray and Sand Attack until the Emolga was blind. I then quickly switched in Fravia for Elite Seed and swapped back to Radical. I just needed to waste turns now, so I kept uselessly spraying some potions onto Radical until the Emolga went down. Magneton was next, and it had Lock On, so the Sand Attack strategy wasn't going to work. But it didn't even need to, because instead of using Lock On, it just used Magnet Rise, allowing for another Leech Seed. The final Pokemon was Heliolisk, who, again, just didn't attack. Fravia used Leech Seed and Poison Powder. You know, I said it was gonna require a little bit of thought, but I expected it to be a little more thinking than that for the fifth badge. To get to the sixth gym, I had to run through a swamp, which, for whatever reason, had the TMs for both Will-O-Wisp and Toxic. Insanely helpful TMs that I proceeded to teach nearly every Pokemon on my team that could learn them. I fought zero trainers from the swamp to the sixth gym leader, by the way. Kind of amazing the lack of required battles in this game. So within only a few minutes from getting the fifth badge, I was already fighting Valerie. I opened up with Radical, and as usual, here's how it went. I'm gonna Galaxy Brain this. Toxic. Apparently my brain wasn't Galaxy enough. Okay, I did use Toxic on a Steel type, but hear me out. When the AI doesn't have any moves that can hit your Pokemon, it switches to a Pokemon that can hit it. And I was, of course, expecting Valerie to switch, because Mawile can't do anything to Radical. But it turns out, Valerie had literally nothing for Radical. So it was a burn and poison sweep. First try. Some bad guys were attacking the Pokeball factory, so I went in to check that out. Some people were arguing in the back room, and one of them asked if I wanted to help out.
No, I'm not ready. Good luck, I'm out of here.
On the next route, I was strolling through some grass, and a cute little keyring popped up, which is actually one of my favorite Pokemon, probably like top three. I had to catch her. So we added Jolie to the team, replacing Ember. Before the 7th gym, there was a short detour through the Frost Cavern I had to go through. Team Flare stirring up trouble again. I accidentally opened up the battle with Jolie, but that mistake was actually a blessing. It made me realize the incredible utility of this jingly set of keys. By using Torment on the first turn, Golbat couldn't use the same move twice in a row. So I was able to protect an Air Slash one turn, and deal damage with Foul Play every second turn. Level 37 with a direct attacking move, Jolie was already beating level 100s. And that was just the start. Jolie had the Prankster ability, which allows it to have priority on status moves. So on the 7th gym, I was able to Toxic the Sigalith before it had a chance to do anything. It psychicked right after and one-shot, but I got the Toxic off, which did nothing because it had the Magic Guard ability. Lo-Fi had to take it out with Destiny Bond. Slowking came out next as I sent Brick to handle it. Brick surviving the Psychic, of course, and hitting it with the Toxic. I just sent out Radical to wait it out. Okay, right here. I used Toxic on an already Toxic Pokemon, similar to that Steel-type situation earlier, right? Well, this time it worked. Meowstic had Sucker Punch and thought it could damage me. So with both of the remaining Pokemon poisoned, I just force-fed Radical and Oranberry until the 7th badge was all mine. I left the gym and Lysander made some announcement that he had the Infinity Stones or something, and that he's gonna snap his fingers twice. I don't know, but it wouldn't let me go to the 8th gym without stopping him, so yeah, I went to go and take down the criminal organization. The strategies I developed so far were handling everything quite well. Occasionally I'd encounter a Pokemon that I didn't have a guaranteed solution for, but Quick Claw Destiny Bond was an excellent backup. I mowed through some grunts, and before I knew it, I was face to face with an ancient crystal apocalypse gun.
Oh no.
I got to Xerneas without any problems and quickballed it for a turn one capture. It forced its way into my party, temporarily replacing Lo-Fi, my only backup for problem Pokemon, and Lysander challenged me to a battle immediately after. I really couldn't afford to mess this one up. Lysander started with Mien Shao, which I dealt with pretty well, I think. Pyroar was next, and Chat insisted Xerneas could take it on.
Alright, let's try Geomancy. It was worth a try.
I figured Brick could handle it. With some Toxic and Protects, it did the trick. Because both Pokemon fainted simultaneously, I didn't know what to expect next, so I sent out Radical with the hope that it was safe. Spoilers, it wasn't. Lysander had a Honchkrow. It one-shot Atsine. It one-shot Jolie, who did get a Toxic off, but only Fravia and Radical were left. I knew Fravia couldn't survive for long, so I used my one revive in the bag to bring back Brick, who was able to just barely survive the Honchkrow's attacks and deal residual damage with Rocky Helmet and Poison. And only Gyarados was left. Brick was one hit away from fainting, and I mean, so was Radical, I guess, but I sent out Radical regardless, hoping it could survive somehow. I knew Gyarados didn't have any super effective moves for me, but that still wasn't going to be enough. When Gyarados Mega Evolves, it gains the ability Mold Breaker, which completely ignores Shedinja's Wonder Guard. So once it Mega Evolved, I was completely done. I tried to Toxic anyways, and it didn't Mega Evolve on the first turn, it just Dragon Danced. I was confused, but I used Confuse Ray anyways, and it didn't Mega Evolve. After three turns, it just fainted to Poison, and by some miracle, I won the Lysander battle. Now there was only one badge standing in my way. I boxed Xerneas forever, got back Lo-Fi, and challenged the final gym, Wolfric. He opened with Abomasnow. With its ability, it made it hail. Hail damages through Wonder Guard. The crutch that I've been using this whole challenge was completely unusable now. I switched Radical out to avoid a hit, but by some stroke of luck, so did Wolfric, allowing for a free switch. Jolie, with her Prankster, was able to badly poison the Avalug and survive a double edge. Jolie held on for a few turns, but was inevitably worn down by the hail. The Avalug was left with just under half HP, and I put my faith into Atsine and went for a Flamethrower, and it worked. Cryogonal was next up, so I sent Brick in. I used Toxic as it charged a Solar Beam. which I protected next turn. It then used Sheer Cold, but since Brick has Sturdy, it did nothing. Brick then tanked a Night Slash, and Poison finished off the Snowflake. Abomasnow was the only Pokemon left, and I knew Lo-Fi could do it. A simple Quick Claw Pop, the Destiny Box, and I knew Atsine could do it. Outspeeding with a Flamethrower to beat Wolfric and obtain the final gym badge. Only the Elite Four remained, and I wanted the finale to be a little more interesting. I added an extra rule. No using healing items in battle. I had to do it with only the power of my Pokemon. I entered the arena and saved the game. A massive mistake. By saving right there, I may have just doomed the entire run. The rule stated that if I ever white out, instead of going to the Pokemon Center and keeping the EXP I gained from the lost battle, I had to instead reset to the last save and lose my progress. And by saving in this room, there was no way out. If I got stuck on any one Pokemon in the Elite Four and couldn't find a way around it with the Pokemon I brought with me, I'd have to restart the entire run from the beginning. I needed to expertly navigate every battle and find ways to win no matter what. I started with Drasna. Radical versus her Dragalge. I knew Dragalge couldn't hit Radical, so I read the switch and used Toxic on the incoming Altaria. Altaria used Parish Song, so I switched my Pokemon around a bit until I predicted another switch when the Parish count was about to run out to Toxic another. It hit Noivern. Jolie survived for a few turns, but was taken out by the brute force of this beast. Brick went in next and protected against the Hurricane, with the Toxic bringing Noivern near death. I knew a full restore was coming, so I Toxic'd yet again. With Brick's Sturdy and Protect, it survived a few more turns, but fell to the Noivern just as Jolie did. The Noivern was at low health once again, but Drasna, the uncultured trainer she is, was readying another full restore. I took advantage of this and sent out the backup plan. On the turn that Drasna used the full restore, Lo-Fi used Destiny Bond, sealing Noivern's fate. I had three Pokemon left, as did Drasna. With Noivern down, though, the only threat had been defeated, as none of the remaining Pokemon could touch Radical. The next battle I chose to do was Wickstrom's. With the combination of Burns, Leech Seeds, and a Destiny Bond from Lo-Fi, I was able to win without too much trouble. Half done the Elite Four. Two members to go before the champion. I decided on Seabold next. Jolie versus Clawitzer to start. Jolie landed a Toxic as Clawitzer decimated her with an Aura Sphere. I sent in Fravia. With each attack from Clawitzer, I knew Fravia was going to lose over half HP. I had to hope he could survive long enough. I went for a Leech Seed as Clawitzer shot off a Dragon Pulse. Because I Leech Seeded a level 100 though, every turn Fravia would get back a quarter HP in recovery, and with spamming Protect, I was able to outlast the Lobster Gun Onslaught. Barbarical was the only barrier left for this battle, as it had Stone Edge for Radical. I PP stalled that out with other Pokemon and let Radical work its cold-blooded magic. I finished the battle, and realized I had a serious problem. Most of my strategies thus far required spamming some type of status move and Protect. I was out of PP on almost all of those moves, and there were still two fights left. The next fight was the Fire member. If you haven't noticed, most of my team is weak to Fire. I frantically looked through all of my healing items and realized I only had a single Max Aether. I could restore the power points of a single move from a single Pokemon. I was completely screwed. The entire run had been relying on those few moves and strategies, and now they were completely out of reach. There was nothing I could do but restart the run. Yeah, I'm just messing with you. I figured something out. I didn't have any PP restoring items, but I did have a bunch of other moves available in the form of TMs. I could replace a useful move, like Protect, with a TM that is completely useless to me, and immediately after, replace that move with Protect again. And would you look at that? The power points are back. And so after a few minutes at the TM dancing, and a quick bathroom break, I was ready to challenge the final Elite Four member, Malva. Lo-Fi faced down a Pyroar, who was certainly going to one-hit KO it, which was exactly the plan, and Lo-Fi's lucky Quick Claw activated, allowing it to Destiny Bond. They both went down. Torkoal was the next obstacle. Klefki missed a Toxic, 10% chance, and Torkoal hit an Inferno, a 50% chance. It was time to fight fire with fire. I sent out Atsine. And for the first time in a while, I decided to actually fight. I used Calm Mind to raise Atsine's special stats as Torkoal set up alongside me. Atsine used Psychic, nearly one-shotting the Torkoal as Inferno missed. One more Psychic finished it off. With full HP, Atsine was ready to take on the Chandelure. It hit a critical hit with Psychic, and luckily, Chandelure opted to use Confuse Ray instead of a damaging move. The next turn, Atsine ignored the confusion, eliminating the Chandelure. Only one Pokemon left, the Talonflame. It used Brave Bird. With Atsine barely holding on at 4 HP, it broke through the confusion and landed yet another Psychic, sealing Talonflame's fate. Brick took a Brave Bird, and Talonflame couldn't handle the recoil in Rocky Helmet. Next thing I knew, I had only one obstacle left in my path. The champion. After 20 hours of being severely underleveled, relying on pure strategy and a little luck, it was finally time to show off all I had learned. Here we go. I used Jolly to bait out a high jump kick as I switched in Radical, forcing Hawlucha to crash down. I predicted its Sky Attack and switched back to Jolly to protect from the hit. Another jump kick was coming, so Radical watched the Hawlucha fall to its grave. Tyrantrum was up next. I didn't have anything for it, so Lady Luck helped out yet again with another Quick Claw Destiny Bond for Lo-Fi. The next Pokemon, Gourgeist, wasn't much of an issue. It messed around by attacking for a bit, but in the end, I hard-read its explosion, protecting Ferravia during that one key turn. And in poetic fashion, in the champion battle, Radical Shadow grew to level 100. Finally, a fair fight. Diantha sent out Aurorus against Radical. I used Toxic. Aurorus did nothing. I had won. The fact that Diantha didn't switch meant that there was nothing she could do. She had no moves to hit Radical. It poisoned the Aurorus, poisoned the Goodra, and poisoned the Gardevoir, winning the challenge and proving that it is indeed possible to beat Pokemon X with every battle against level 100 Pokemon. If you enjoyed this and want to see more, make sure to subscribe. I play games wrong all the time, and be sure to stop by my Twitch for the live experience if you're into that. But that's all for now. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.